Hey, I'm Anderson Cooper. Welcome to the podcast, the latest on the Zimmerman trial. Let's get started. Long before the trial, defense attorney Mark Amaro was fighting for George Zimmerman in the court of public opinion. Today, following his client's wishes, he kept George Zimmerman off the stand. He pushed for an all-or-nothing second-degree murder charge for jurors to consider, no lesser offenses. It's a high-stakes gamble. He also wrestled with a dummy, as we talked about before. Anyway, you slice it, a big day for Mark Amaro, who I spoke with just a short time ago. Mark, there seemed to be a bit of confusion early in the afternoon when the judge asked Mr. Zimmerman whether he would testify or not. He said he needed more time to decide. What finally made him decide not to? I mean, I assume for the last, most of this trial, you've known he's not going to testify.
No, actually, that's not true. He was really considering testifying. He really wanted to talk to his jury and tell him what he did, why he did it, and what he was facing when he made that decision to fire the shot. I think the confusion was more of semantics than substance, though. Whenever that decision is made, it's always with consultation of counsel, and George wanted to include that information. So that was just a little bit of confusion, but really without a point.
The state now has asked that manslaughter and aggravated assault be included in the charges in addition to second-degree murder. A lot of analysts I've been talking to expected that to happen. Why do you feel that's legally inappropriate?
Well, I don't think that the facts of the case support a manslaughter charge. I think the facts of this case support nothing but self-defense. If the jury doesn't buy self-defense and thinks that he acted in ill will, spite, and hatred, then he should convict him of second-degree murder. They're not going to because I think the evidence is overwhelming that he acted in self-defense. If that's the theory of the state's case, then manslaughter is not appropriate. It doesn't fit the facts of the case, and I don't want this jury to have what they perceive to be some compromised verdict. They should look at the facts, look at the law, apply it, and acquit them.
What a lot of people watching this maybe don't realize is that aggravated assault carries the potential for life in prison because of the Florida gun statute, the same as if he was convicted of second-degree murder, correct?
Potentially. It's going to how they charge it and what the jury comes back with, but certainly the manslaughter charge is very serious as well.
The judge also said you could not introduce your 3D reenactment of the night Trayvon Martin died as evidence. You can use them in your closing statement. For you, is that the best case scenario? You get to show the reenactment, get that in the juror's mind. The prosecution doesn't get to attack it on cross-examination.
Perfect answer, because yes, that's true. I don't believe that the animation needed to be in evidence for me to get it before the jury. I would like to have had it there, but I know the state's concerns. I understand the court's ruling. And as long as it is there for me to show the jury what probably happened that night, which is what that animation shows, I'm okay with it.
You said you didn't introduce the THC levels found in Trayvon Martin's blood, at least in part because the levels were so minimal. You've known, though, how low the levels were all along, so why did you fight so hard to be able to have it admitted?
Because I think that should have been our decision rather than the court's decision. I think when we have relevant, admissible evidence, it should be allowed in. Then we make the decision as part of our defense strategy whether or not we're going to present it. I don't think the court should have attempted to preempt us, and at the end she didn't. And then we make the decision, keeping in mind the substance of the evidence itself, how it may have persuaded a jury, and also keeping in mind the sensitivities that we have had throughout this trial and also pretrial concerning Trayvon Martin's family and the sensitivities of what they're going through right now. So the decision was made it wasn't going to be probative enough for us to have to deal with the concerns surrounding it.
How surprised were you that they didn't allow at least some of those text messages in?
Well, I respect the court's ruling. I was surprised because I think that we laid a proper evidentiary foundation to let it in. I think it is completely relevant, particularly when the statute says that the jury is to consider the relative physical abilities of both parties. They certainly have information concerning George Zimmerman's abilities, and I think they should have had evidence, fairly conclusive evidence, of Trayvon Martin's sensibilities or abilities physically. And, you know, we respect the judge's ruling. We'll move forward from here.